This passage is so important to us. It has so much to say about who we are, as well as who those folks were and who Jesus is in their lives and in our life. It's vital for us to understand some things about Jesus and about this passage so that we might continue to do the things that God calls us to do through Jesus. You see that. You see that in this passage where Zebulun and Naphtali, the Galilee of the Gentiles, is a people who dwelt in darkness, who were in the shadow of death, and now great light has come to them. As we were leaving this morning, the 8:45 service, going out the door, the clouds in the distance were lifting, and you could see the light. And someone leaving said, "Oh, that must be what it looked like. You could see the light that was coming, the light that came into the world, that came to them and proclaimed to them and to all, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Now, for many of us, we think, well, that what does that mean? It's near. It's way out there. It's across the street. It's down the block. It's pie in the sky, by and by. No, that's not the kingdom, and that's not what near means. Jesus, in proclaiming this kingdom upon earth, says the kingdom is at hand in another passage. The kingdom is here. It's at your hand. It's near you. It's within your grasp. This kingdom that is near is, it's here. You can live in it. You can be in it. You can be a part of it. Just repent, for the kingdom has come to you. Well, now, I don't know about you, but sometimes that word repent causes me problems. I want to say to God, "Now, Lord, there's this one thing I like to do. It may not be in keeping with your kingdom, but it's what I like to do, and I know you'll just let me do that, won't you? Now, God, there's this one thing I have in my mind that I don't want to let go of. It's something that I know. It's something that I've lived with all these years. It's who I am. It's what I am. It doesn't matter to me if it's within your keeping or not. You just let me keep thinking those things. Will you do that, Lord? I'll repent of everything else, but I don't want to repent of that." Aren't you there sometimes? "Lord, let me keep my own ideas about things. Let me have that one habit that may be a bad habit, but it's my habit. Let me do that." That's where we find ourselves sometimes. If you don't find yourselves there, then I'm all alone. And I must be the one that's just slightly out of step with the rest of you, but I think some of you are there too. Just let me do what I want to do, and everything will be okay. Won't it, Lord? Sure it will. Now, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, repent. You've heard it before. Repentance is turning around, turning away from that which keeps us from the will of God, that keeps us from the kingdom of God. That is God's kingdom for us. It's leaving that behind. Now, what is it that we need to repent of? Well, for many of us, we do the checklist, don't we? And we can feel right proud of ourselves. No one committed murder last night, did you? Now, you may have wanted to. Granted, but you didn't, did you? Nobody killed anybody last night. Nobody robbed a store last night. At least none of you in this room. We can't vouch for the 8:45 service, can we? Nobody did that. Nobody robbed a bank. Well, we must be pretty good. We must be okay then. That's the checklist we like to use. Those things that we most definitely did not do and would never do, we can mark those off and think, that's wonderful. That's good for us, but we're to repent of everything that keeps us from the kingdom of God. Everything. I can't keep my bigotry. I can't keep my biases. I can't keep my prejudice. I can't keep my hatred of others. I can't keep any of that. I must repent, and so must you, of all that would keep us from kingdom living, and then follow Jesus. And we must do it immediately. That's another part of this passage that gives me trouble. That immediate thing. Immediately? You mean like right now? Isn't that the question you would want to ask? You mean now? Well, I got stuff to do. Can't you imagine Peter or any of the other three? There's things I want to do. Give me time. Let me do this first. Let me take care of this first. I'll be glad to follow you, but give me time to get ready to do that. Let me make sure everything is in order. It was a wonderful prayer this morning. Debbie, thank you for that, because it's a part of that. Let me make sure my 401k is sufficient. Let me make sure that the pension I'm getting from the church is okay. Let me make sure that I get that last paycheck before I haul off and follow you, so that I know that there's some security behind that. Let me make sure of those things. Jesus says, wait a minute, no, it's immediate. Follow me. Now, yes, right now. Doesn't matter what you've got. Doesn't matter what's waiting for you. Doesn't matter what's there. You follow me. You repent of your sin. You repent of that which keeps you from the kingdom of God, which is here, and you follow me now. Right now. That's what we're called to do. That's what Jesus calls us about. This passage is that passage that calls us to everything that we're supposed to be about. Talked to someone the other day. Do you have an altar call? No. No, quit doing them. Why do you need for them? Wait a minute. Aren't we to call people to Christian living? Aren't we to call people to Christ? Aren't we to call people to the kingdom? Aren't we to call people to repentance? Aren't we to call people to follow Jesus? Isn't that what we're to do? Even when you look around the congregation and you see most of the folks here, you know, and you see them every week, they still need the call. You still need to hear God's call upon your life, because somewhere in that call, somewhere in those words, not necessarily my words, but the words of Scripture, somewhere in there is a call of God upon your life right now. You may have been a Christian for all your life, as long as you can remember. You may have become a Christian in the last 2 weeks. It doesn't matter. Somewhere in this day, somewhere in this service, somewhere as you leave this place, somewhere God's word is coming to you, and it is a call to repent of that which separates you from the kingdom and to follow Him. Now. Right now. To follow Him in the ways that are kingdom living ways. Several years ago, in another place, in another time, this happened. Someone came to the office and they said, "You got to do something about this person." Don't you just love that when they do that? "You got to do something about this person." "Well, what? What do you want me to do? What's going on?" "Well, they're disrupting our Sunday school class. They're disrupting my life. They're doing things that they ought not to do. You just got to do something about it." "Okay. Okay, I will." "Well, what are you going to do?" "Well, you've just asked me to do something about it. I told you I would do something. Well, I want to know, what are you going to do? Well, what do you want me to do? You want me to throw them out of the church? What do you want me to do? You want me to tell them they're going to hell? You know, what do you want? Well, you just got to do something. You tell me what you're going to do. Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray that God would move in their lives. I'm going to pray that they would rid themselves of the things that are separating them from God's kingdom and His love and His grace and His mercy. Huh. That's what you're going to do? And as the person left, I said, oh, and by the way, I'm going to pray for you. You know, it's a wonder they let me stay in the church as long as they have. It's just, it's amazing that I've lasted 47 years doing this. Don't understand it sometimes. And I'm hearing all kinds of comments from back here. The thing I wish I could tell you is that we made a difference in both lives. But you see, the church is just like everywhere else. We don't always do what we're supposed to do. We don't always live into the kingdom. We don't always follow Jesus. The person who came to me left the church. The person whom we prayed for and whom we began to work with stayed. And actually won people to Christ. Because their lives changed. You see, some of us want our lives to change. We know we're in the shape we're in, and we look for a way to be different. And some of us like the way we are. We just like being who we are. And nobody is going to change me. Not even Jesus. But Jesus calls us. He calls us over the tumult. He calls us through the storm. He calls us to live into the kingdom. To leave behind all that stuff that's keeping us from kingdom living. And He calls us to follow Him. And that's what we're about. Jesus calls me. I don't always want to repent. And I don't always want to be immediate. But Jesus calls me. And Jesus calls you. And you don't always want to repent. And you don't always want to think about now. Do it now. But Jesus calls us. He calls us into a kingdom that is here. The church, as feebly and as frailly as it can, represents that kingdom. Sometimes it's despite us. And sometimes it's when we really do understand repentance. And the immediate action of doing what Jesus would do. I think the worst thing that probably ever happened to Christians was when they came out with those plastic bracelets. WWJD, what would Jesus do? And we wore those things and we thought we were making some sort of statement. When in reality, it's what would Jesus have you do? When He called you to follow Him. Repent. The kingdom is here. And follow me now. And they went throughout their community and they taught and they proclaimed the good news. And every disease and every sickness among the people could be healed. Let us pray.